hesitate to use nuclear weapons whenever we feel it necessary to protect our vital interests. And he confidently added that America's nuclear stockpile was much larger than that of the Soviet Union. The administration now found it useful to deflate the myth of the missile gap. Details about SAC's ability to destroy the Soviet Union were provided to NATO officials, so that Soviet intelligence officers who'd infiltrated NATO would share the information with the Kremlin. Perceptions of American military strength were important as tensions rose in Europe. Soviet fighter planes buzzed commercial airliners heading to West Berlin and dropped chaff to disrupt their navigational systems. Border guards in East Berlin shot at civilians trying to get past the wall. Police officers in West Berlin responded by firing clouds of tear gas to help the refugees escape, and fought a gun battle with East German police. Although negotiations with the Soviets quietly continued, on October 10th, President Kennedy, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, the head of the Joint Chiefs, and a few other advisors met at the White House to finalize plans for a military defense of West Berlin. Everyone agreed about the first three phases, a gradually escalating set of responses with conventional weapons. But a disagreement arose over Phase 4, the point at which nuclear weapons would be introduced. McNamara said that tactical weapons should be used first, to protect NATO troops and show the Soviets that America wasn't afraid to fight a nuclear war. But Paul H. Nitze, a McNamara aide and an advocate not only of containing but of overthrowing communist regimes throughout the world, thought the use of tactical weapons would be a mistake. According to notes of the meeting, Nitze said that Phase 4 should begin with the United States launching an all-out first strike against the Soviet Union, because with such a strike, we could in some real sense be victorious. Neither side could be confident of winning a nuclear exchange, McNamara argued, and the consequences would be devastating for both. The meeting ended with the issue unresolved. When President Kennedy later sent instructions for the defense of West Berlin to General Norstad, Phase 4 was made up of three parts. A. Selective nuclear attacks for the primary purpose of demonstrating the will to use nuclear weapons. B. Limited tactical employment of nuclear weapons. C. General nuclear war. Although Norstad was supposed to try A and B before proceeding to C, the behavior of the Soviets could prompt the United States to begin with C. Norstad had already received these orders on October 27th, when Soviet and American tanks confronted one another at Checkpoint Charlie, the last border crossing in Berlin. An American diplomat had been detained by East German border guards the previous week, and a dispute arose over the process of gaining access to East Berlin. American tanks were sent to Checkpoint Charlie as a show of strength. Soviet tanks appeared there at about 5 in the evening on the 27th. The British soon deployed two anti-tank guns to support the Americans, while all the French troops in West Berlin remained safely in their barracks. For the first time since the Cold War began, tanks belonging to the U.S. Army and the Red Army pointed their guns at one another, separated by about 100 yards. General Norstad had ordered his tank commanders to tear down the Berlin Wall if East German guards blocked the rightful passage of American civilians. Amid the armored standoff at the border, Secretary of State Rusk had those orders rescinded. A miscalculation by either side, a needless provocation, could lead to war. The Soviet foreign minister met with the American ambassador in Moscow to discuss the situation. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, the president's younger brother, had a secret late-night meeting with Georgi Bolshakov, a Soviet intelligence officer in Washington, D.C. The negotiations were successful. 16 hours after arriving at the border, the Soviet tanks turned around and left. The American tanks departed half an hour later. Khrushchev had already backed away from his ultimatum that NATO troops must leave West Berlin by the end of the year. and withdrawing the tanks first seemed like another sign of weakness. 2 days later, Khrushchev made a blunt, defiant statement. Above an island in the Arctic Sea, the Soviet Union detonated Tsar Bomba, the king of bombs, the most powerful nuclear weapon ever built. It had a yield of 50 megatons. The mushroom cloud rose about 40 miles into the sky, and the fireball could be seen more than 600 miles from ground zero. The shock waves circled the Earth 3 times with enough force to be detected in New Zealand. The Berlin crisis eased somewhat, but Khrushchev did not let go of his central demands. Kennedy distrusted the Soviets, and the city still threatened to become a flashpoint where a Third World War would begin. McGeorge Bundy later recalled, "There was hardly a week in which there were not nagging questions about what would happen if..." On November 6th, a tear gas battle erupted between East German and West German police officers. On November 20th, a crowd of 50,000 gathered to protest the wall, and the demonstration ended in chaos, with about 1,000 people battling police. And on November 24th, just before dawn, SAC headquarters in Omaha lost contact with the ballistic missile early warning system radar in Thule, Greenland. A SAC controller picked up the phone and called NORAD headquarters in Colorado Springs to find out what was wrong. The line was dead. The odds of a communications breakdown simultaneously extending east and west from Omaha seemed low. SAC's entire alert force was ordered to prepare for takeoff. At air bases worldwide, klaxons sounded and pilots climbed into hundreds of planes. A few minutes later, the order was rescinded. The B-52 circling Thule had made contact with the base. It had not been destroyed by the Soviets. An investigation subsequently found that the failure of a single AT&T switch in Black Forest, Colorado, had shut down all the ballistic missile early warning circuits, voice communications between the SAC and NORAD command posts, and the hotline linking SAC's commander to NORAD headquarters. AT&T had neglected to provide redundant circuits for some of the nation's most important communications links, despite assurances that it had done so. When news of the Black Forest incident leaked, Radio Moscow claimed the false alarm was proof that any maniac at a U.S. military base can, in a panic, easily throw mankind into the abyss of a nuclear war. The Berlin crisis led Secretary of Defense McNamara to believe even more strongly